Hello, my name is Jonathan Bryant. I have the privilege of serving as the Chief Administrator of Lincoln Charter. I have been with the school since 2007. The purpose of this podcast is to highlight some of the amazing staff and stakeholders that we have at Lincoln Charter and to share the college experiences of our guests. As we all know, college preparation is the goal of Lincoln Charter. I'm also a former middle school social studies teacher, so I'm always interested in storytelling and finding out more about the individuals that make Lincoln Charter a great school and community. So you may wonder, where does edge of the eyrie come from? You likely know that an eagle's nest is an eyrie, which obviously has meaning for our eagle nation. And I intend for this podcast to give you a perspective from the Lincoln Charter community. Therefore, each episode will come to you from the edge of the area. As you likely know, Lincoln Charter is one of the oldest and largest public charter schools in North Carolina. We were founded in 1998, and we have a K-12 campus in Lincolnton and Denver.
All right. Today, I am excited to welcome the one and the only Kim Allen, who is our varsity women's basketball coach and has been our varsity women's basketball coach for 11 years now. And Coach Allen, I'd like to welcome you to the edge of the eyrie.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you for joining us. If you can just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, please.
I am a mother of two, happily married for 26 years.
Congratulations.
I have been coaching basketball for a long time, but it's a funny story because when I came to Lincoln Charter and met Dr. Bryant, he was kind of already familiar with me because we had somewhat of a connection by way of his sister, who was she the athletic director at the time when I was there?
This is
University School.
This is my brother-in-law.
University yes. School of Milwaukee.
Right.
So before I came to Charlotte, I did coach at USM in Milwaukee. It was a private school in Mequon, Wisconsin. So when I came here.
This is a winter podcast and it's real cold there. So we're both happy to be in North Carolina.
Yes. Yeah. Until the snow. And so I think you have reached out because I had it on my resume. And so that was a small connection. But I came to Charlotte in 2005 and I was not looking to coach. I was just looking to be a parent because I had kids entering sports. But I did help my husband, who was the assistant coach for AAU team that my son was on. And I was the one kind of helping the boys. And so I had a mom there who felt like I need to be coaching somewhere, which is how I got all of my coaching jobs. And she led me to Lake Norman Charter. They had an open middle school position, and I didn't think I would get it because I wasn't a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no problems. I coached there for 4 years. After we won, I think it was hard for us to win at first because we were in the private school league.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, my sister was at, her kids were at Piedmont, and they were going to discontinue their volleyball team because they didn't have a coach. I did play basketball and volleyball in college, Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina. And so she was like, oh, my sister will do it. So at the same time, I was a coach of basketball at Lake Norman Charter and at Piedmont.
Voluntold.
Right, voluntold.
Got it.
And we did well there, too. And so from there, the parent wanted me to come to Philip Oberry. And so I left both schools to go. I was the head volleyball coach at Philip Oberry, and I assisted in basketball because I was friends with the head coach at the time. Philip Oberry was an interesting stop. But then what happened there was the principal wanted the teachers to be the coaches. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was skeptical in the beginning, where I'm not a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So at any given time, they can say, you know, we want teachers. Or so I wasn't mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of didn't follow back up. I kind of like let it happen how it was going to happen. And then I was just doing AAU. So I stuck with AAU. And then one of my parents from AAU, her kids were on another team, and she ran into me and she was like, how's the coaching? And I was like, it's okay, but I'm not coaching high school anymore. And she was like, no, that's not, like, you're just great. You got to coach somebody. And she was like, hold up, one of my parents is looking for a coach and you would probably be great. And I was like, nah, sir. I'm telling her, nah, I think I'm done, you know, with high school. And she was like, And it was a weekend tournament. And that was like day one. She was like, when I see you again, I'm going to introduce you to him. And I didn't see her day two, but I seen her day three. And when I seen her day three, she found me and she introduced me to the Beaches at the time. And so we exchanged numbers. I was still hemming and hawing about, you know, I'm not coaching high school. And my husband's like, just go and hear what they got to say. It might be like the right fit for you. And I was like, whatever. So then he passed my, I sent him my information, passed it to Dan at the time. Mm-hmm. And he brought me up here. And then I met Machado, mm-hmm. which, you know, anything he said is just hard to turn down. You know, I love him. And I met both of you and the rest is history. Year 11, I love, you know, I love it here. I love the girls. Culture of the program that we've been building since the time I arrived mm-hmm. has been consistent. We've got better. The girls got better. It was rough starting out, but, you know, we have more people trying out than we did the first couple of years. Even though we were successful, but you can tell the difference in the progression in the program.
Yep. It's been a minute, but it's been great.
Yeah.
And tell us what your job, you mentioned you're not a teacher. Yep. So tell us a little bit about your job and what you do there.
Okay. So I have an accounting degree. And I currently work at TIAA. Currently, I'm a compliance officer, and my role is to make sure the areas that we were, well, mainly TIAA, we have different, I'm going to say subsidiaries, because that's within the company, and we're just trying to make sure they're regulatory compliant. Mm-hmm. So we will go in and control test certain areas to make sure whatever the reg says, we're compliant with that reg in certain areas. And if we're not, I'll identify that and make sure that those specific areas get back in line. That's what I currently do. I've been at TIAA 17 years, the whole time I've been coaching since I've been there. So I've been in auditing. They're auditing probably about 9 years. I was in accounting, which more of like a mutual fund NAV calculations, mm-hmm. Your 529 plans, tuition plans, and mutual fund calculations. Prior to that.
Okay.
When I got here, that's what I was doing, 2005.
And we're fortunate that they are great with you coaching. So everybody wins.
Win-win. that is the goal, trying to get kids to work hard. You know, they featured us at work if you are a college athlete, and they asked me one of the things that I learned from sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like there's always some good in winning and losing.
Yep.
We've won a lot, but we've lost a lot. But, you know, it teaches a lot to the kids how to get better. I like to kind of bring life and sports together for them and make them understand how working hard here and school, you know, kind of translates and kind of comes twofold, that you're always be competing against somebody. It doesn't matter if you're on the court or in the classroom. When I was in school, we competed for grades. I had a circle and it was like, hey, what'd you get this time? So, you know, it forced you to go home and study a little bit more because you didn't want to ever lose to, you know, especially in math. We had a math group and it was like, we were all in the A range. And it was like between a 90 and a 100, we were always trying to compete. So whether, and I tell them too, is, you know, in corporate America these days is pay for performance. Mm. And, you know, I try to say, okay, on the basketball court, it's paid for performance. And I, you know, I was like, money. Mm-hmm. I work hard. I want to be paid appropriately, just like those that work hard and show up and practice hard and put in the work outside of here, they might get more playing time. And that's not to say that someone else is not going to play, but you can tell who's put in work.
Well, not so. It's not surprising that you would be motivated by a competition in some ways.
Always, yeah. They know at work that my friends were like, even at a workout gym is like, where's the line? They were like, don't get on the team. Or, no, you need to get on the team with me.
That's good. Part of the purpose of this podcast is to highlight the college experiences of our guests. And hopefully that then is a learning opportunity for anybody that's listening, you know, particularly our staff or students and families. Mm-hmm. And so can you tell us a little bit about your college experience? Mm-hmm. The athletic piece of it, but also anything else that is helpful to know about your experience in college.
Okay, so my dad's military.
What branch?
He is Air Force. Okay. So
great.
College, I didn't know college was on my horizon, really. We traveled everywhere. Our high school, I finished in Dazzle, South Carolina, Hillcrest High School. And we lived in England, and we lived in Germany, and we lived in Oklahoma. All of my siblings are born in different states, or my one sister was born in Germany. So college was never talked about in my family. And I really didn't know a whole lot about college until I started playing sports.
Okay.
Even started watching basketball, watched like the NBA. So living in England, we lived in England for like 3 years and there was like three channels. So everything you got was recorded. But even then if you're young, you didn't know they went to college or mm-hmm. you didn't know the direction that they took to get where they got. So when we got back stateside and we went to California and then we played sports, still college is not on our minds. And then South Carolina is when it kind of, we started being around people who had siblings that were in college. I used to date a boy who was in college, not in college, my apologies. His uncle was big in that area. He was like the best football player that came out of that area. And they kind of introduced us to thinking about college, whether it was playing sports or going to school, because mm-hmm. his mom was a college graduate. He was killed in a car accident before he went to college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was a big deal because he was Mr. South Carolina. And so our mind was always on college because that family introduced us to thinking about college and what college meant. I don't know anyone in my family that went to college mm-hmm. before me. Or okay. they might have went, but that I know I was the first college graduate from my side.
So that's awesome. That's super.
Right. And then going to college for me, you know, because I would have went in the Air Force because that's what I knew. Mm-hmm. So if I didn't get, I did get a college scholarship. There was a couple of schools that I had on my radar. I chose Benedict ultimately because I had to play both sports.
Okay.
I didn't know what I was going to be. I didn't know. I was fearful of college. Because it was the unknown. It wasn't spoken of a lot in my house about. So as I've had kids, I spoke more freely about college. In my house, it was not really spoken. My mom didn't go to college. My dad didn't. No one I knew went to college. And so once I got to college, it's the best experience. And so for anyone who has any doubts, you know, you have the right to be afraid of the unknown because there is a difference in going from a high school. It is a bigger high school with like different challenges, your future in your grasp, but you do have options to kind of change directions. You get to grow up. You get to live on your own for a while. And for me, though, because I played both sports, I would start a season of volleyball. And back then we would cross over into basketball. So I was doing both of them at the same time. At some point during the season, I would have two games sometimes. I might play volleyball earlier in the day because there was a tournament and that was a season ending tournament. And then I might play basketball later in that evening. It was crazy. I don't know if I would do it. I think about it now. Because now they'll say, let the season end before you jump into another one. I wouldn't change it, but because I was the captain on both and just something about the competition and missing and you not being there for your teammates.
Yeah.
I was able to do that and I'm glad I did, but I still had to study. Mixing in school and athletics, you know, it's hard, but if you want to do it, you can. My freshman year, I think I almost had a 4.0 GPA. And I think I had like a 3.96 or something. And then, you know, that allowed me to kind of like, I'd rather it start high and you drop and then have it drop. And
yeah, don't start from the low.
Yeah. But there's so many things. There's so many different avenues. There's so many different people that you meet that help shape who you are. And a lot of my friends, even though I still have some high school friends, a lot of my friends today are from college. Mm. And we just do a lot of things together. I am part of the best sorority, Delta Sigma Theta sorority.
You heard it here.
I was able to do that. That was tough because I had to do that while I was playing basketball. And a lot of things were contradictory. They wanted you to be here, but, you know, I had to be at basketball or I had to be at volleyball. It had to work because you know, part of the college experience is being able to do all these different things that are offered, and for somebody to not allow you to, because, you know, I am overly committed over here. And then I got books over here. I did meet my husband at school too.
That's where it all came together.
That's where it all came together. I met him in college. So it was good times.
And the one theme I think that I've heard from so many guests on their college experiences, you learn about the academics and you have your activities, but time management is really for many college goers, it's their first time living on their own. You have to navigate all of the opportunity that's there, social and academic and extracurricular, and you have to be able to manage your time, which can be really challenging, but hopefully life lessons for sure.
Yeah. And if you come in there knowing that you're going to be an athlete, that's ultimate. Because for one, I never wanted to be ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important for me to make sure my grades were up to par. I came into school, like, I am the oldest child. No, I'm not the oldest child. I think I'm the oldest child. My family thinks I'm the oldest child, but I am the oldest daughter. And so I always had to take care of everybody, always mm-hmm. having to be responsible. My grades were always up to par. So I just always felt like I couldn't fail or, you know, was going to let my parents down, because my dad would go on remote tours for a year and my mom would work like swing shifts or early. She'd be gone out the house at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to run like a store. And I was the one that had to make sure everybody got to school. And I was 13. And so I have an older brother who, you know, sometimes we never knew where he was. And true story, when we lived in England, we had, it was a dual base. And so my parents played sports too. And they played for the base team, but it was considered semi-pro because a lot of the international teams, they played.
Okay.
And our school was on the other base, which is Woodbridge. My dad was stationed at Bentwaters. We went to school at Woodbridge. We'd catch these coach buses to school. And I'm not talking about the yellow bus. I'm talking about real coach buses. But we would catch the shuttle bus after school to the gym because mm-hmm. my parents were practicing and we'd be there all day. My older brother, when he's supposed to be on the shuttle with us. Now, me, I was probably 9, 10. I tell my mom all the time, I would never. You just think about it, because I know where that, right now I can map out where that school was walking to that shuttle bus. And my older brother was supposed to be the one to make sure we got where. No, he never, I don't know wherever he ever was. And it was me, I have a brother named Ray, and I have two sisters. Chrissy didn't go, as Talisha. I would have to get us on the bus, and get us to that base gym. Shuttle bus was like a yellow bus, but it was military.
Okay.
Shuttle bus. And just be responsible for that. Just depending on, you know, how your, you know, family dynamics is when you were younger is going to dictate mm-hmm. your life going forward. So I definitely encourage, you know, kids and students to kind of find a balance when they get in school, because you can get in school with all this free time and just be like, hey, no one's checking behind me. The teachers are not going to check behind you either.
Right.
Not in college. They don't care if you fail. It's going to be up to you to go have a conversation and develop relationships with your professors. And I mean, and they'll allow you to. We used to sit up in our professor's office and just have just casual conversations. So when you develop, you know, a relationship, you know, because sometimes you can be mad at them or angry, or when you develop a relationship with them, they might be prone to say, hey, I'll give you a little bit more time, or, you know, you didn't do this right. Can you revise? Just, you know, learning how to be better communicators as you're in school will help your transition, but definitely making sure your work's done on time and still have a good time, but have a good time after you've completed the requirements or the reason why you're in school.
Yeah. Have a good time at the right time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you ended up finding your brother at some point.
I don't know. Sometimes I never really, he must have been a good communicator, because where we lived at, because we had a bigger family, we lived in Sacks. That wasn't even on base. It was a base housing outside of Sacks that had to be 40 minutes from the base.
Wow.
But somehow he always got right home.
He made it there.
We didn't have cell phones. We just hoped my mom would just hope that he made it home, but he's safe. Yeah, but I have our family. He was a football player, raised a basketball player. In some shape or form, we all played a sport that kind of guided us down.
Parent, you mentioned that your parents were athletes. What were their respective sports?
So my mom played basketball, and my dad played football and basketball, and they were both good at. They were surprisingly, I'm not saying surprisingly, but that was our intro to sports. We were always in the gym because mom's game was first in basketball. My dad's was second. And then my dad, he played football. He was the quarterback. And so we were always, it was busy. I paid attention, you know, and I paid attention enough to know that I knew how to play. So, you know, if you pay attention, you know the skills by watching. So when it was time for me to play, I could just play. I didn't have to be taught what a travel or a double dribble. I just knew how to play. But I have my brothers. We, with five siblings, it was always a competition. There was never everything. You win at everything. It didn't matter. It could be something simple as calling cars while you're on a road trip. Or we would set up cans and bowls. Like we have a ball and our parents are sitting pissed because all you can hear is crashing cans. But it didn't matter. We beat each other down. Basketball, we were always like the same height, me and my brothers. Eventually, because I was probably stronger than Ray, but eventually he kind of got way better than me.
Allegedly.
Yeah. taller and, you know, the things that I could do to him when I was younger, I couldn't do to him, you know, as we got older.
Yeah.
But I think for me, just having that family dynamic, it kind of comes forward in life.
Right.
You know, everything that we do it at 100. There's no, I don't, anything that I do, I'm trying to be the best. And I tell them, I'll beat your mom. I don't care. I'll beat my mom, you know, and that's how we go hard. Like my kids can't beat me. And I tell them, you can't beat me. And they look at me like, you crazy. I said, no, I'm serious. That's how, like, they can't beat me.
Hey, that's great. Well, it sounds like that was instilled in you within your family, and we're all of the players and the folks that you've been able to influence here at the school are all benefiting from that. So we appreciate that level of competition.
Yeah, they've gotten better. We've had four player of the years. I feel like I got shafted for like two, but I'll take four.
Yeah. Before we move completely off of your college experience. One of the character traits about you that I've always appreciated is you are competitive, but you're very humble at the same time. And so you didn't mention that you're a Hall of Fame member. You're part of our Hall of Fame committee here at the school that has had several classes inducted. And I know your input on those has been really instrumental and positive overall. But tell us a little bit about your Hall of Fame experience with Benedict.
I never expected it. Just I didn't even know it existed. I just played for the love and the fun of the game. I hate to lose, so it was always in me to be competitive and just play hard. At the end of the day, whether I was the best or not, I just wanted to make that impact on my team so that we can win.
Yeah.
In college, you're playing so many different teams and it's about getting better, learning from them and applying it. And the funny thing is I've always been a basketball player. In my heart, I was a basketball player. But volleyball, I played at some point in some years, school started making it mandatory for you to play a second sport before you did basketball. So it was either you did cross country or you did volleyball. And back then, running was not, you know, we ran enough in basketball, so cross country was not going to be the one I chose. So I chose volleyball, but living in California, volleyball and softball were a big deal. And so I did play volleyball there, but never, right before I was about to get on the team, my dad got hurt and we moved. But the way that they set up their programs when we're in gym, the school was so big, we had like six gym classes in one. So imagine a gym where you can just split the court into, so there would be like four volleyball nets up and you would just rotate. Before we even played, they taught all fundamentals. Anything that we ever did, it was like, hey, we're going to go through these fundamentals, test you on the play. Me, I love sports and we did that. And then as we're going to try out. Mm-hmm. But then my dad got orders. But I knew I just, it's just one of those things that, like, if you put it in front of me, I'm going to play it. Mm-hmm. I might not be the best at it, but you're going to have to beat me.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to get better at it. Mm-hmm. So volleyball, the progression, I felt I was good in high school, good enough to be one of the best players. I was just, in my mind, I was not as good as basketball. But when I got to college, I had, as a freshman, I had a lot of seniors. And they taught me whatever. And from that freshman year, I just flourished. And
that's great.
Yeah, I soaked in whatever. I was a starter from like the first day. And I started every game, volleyball game I was ever there. I was really good by the time I was done. That was never my intent. It was just to go there. And because I knew I was there really primarily for basketball. Volleyball was the added, you know, if I'm going to be out here. I'm going to be out here.
Yeah.
So I think my work ethic and, you know, will to want to win. And we didn't win all games, but we were in most of them. And at the end of the day, I always tell my kids that sometimes it's not about where you go, it's about what you do when you get there. Mm-hmm. And I think that is my testament to why I am in the Hall of Fame at Benedict.
Yeah. That's great. Great words of wisdom. And you also have an MBA.
I do.
Right? Anything you want to mention about that?
Yeah. So I was in Milwaukee living at the time, and I was working. And the job I was doing, mutual fund accounting, and we had a lot of downtime. And we have the downtime because the way that you calculate mutual funds, you process certain transactions early, and then you have to wait for the traders to see how much cash is available in the accounts, and then they do short-term trading. So we have to go from like lunch to could be anywhere between 1 to 3 downtime. I used to read a lot of books, and books that mean absolutely nothing, like just romance novels. And it was a lot of us. We just rotate books around. I was like, this is a waste of my time. So I did decide to go back to school just because I had that much time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back and I got my master's, and I brought my husband along too.
Okay.
Because accelerated program at the University of Phoenix at that time. And I figured, like, I'm not trying to say that he didn't do his work, but, you know, sometimes when you're married, you know, we have to push each other to be better. And so I made sure that we had assignments. He was doing his assignments, and we got our MBAs together. And the one thing about MBAs is more about the professionalism of it and just knowing that you're serious about your job. More education. It's a lot of writing. And what I did learn is that I tell kids this now. If I'm sitting next to kids that are in college now, I always tell them about being good communicators and try to speak as much, speak more, or learn to speak or be. Because I feel like, you know, a lot of jobs that I've had, those people that speak well or not afraid to speak, they're the ones more in the leadership positions, or they're making more money. And sometimes they're not doing all the work, but they can communicate the work that you did. And so it makes them look like that they are where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've learned. I've had some great bosses that translate the beautiful work that I did. It's a fabulous presentation. And so I encourage everyone to, you know, take communication classes. And part of that master's program was a lot of communication, a lot of presentations, a lot of individual presentations, a lot of team presentations. It taught you how to be a better team player, how to come together as one and kind of infuse your work together to make it sound like one voice. Definitely, it teaches you how to work in a corporate world, in a team-like environment, which I'm currently in, and how to listen and how to, you know, add value.
That's great. And obviously, two people in education in some capacity, always learning is great. And that's it's always good to see advanced degrees and sort of understand how that can help you career wise and life wise.
Yeah, and then there's always certifications too. So learning doesn't stop because you go to college.
Sure.
You know, at my job, there's so many different certifications that you can get. Now with AI, that's something new. Those are different avenues And I'm not sure if they are have added that curriculum to college yet, but I know like cyber, there's a lot of different certifications.
Right.
There's like, you know, CPAs, there's different avenues. And then some, you know, there might be some avenues where kids are not going to college where they can be certified. You still need a certification. So it really doesn't matter. You know, at some point, if you want to come out making good money, you're going to need some additional education to be able to do the jobs that
right.
you're applying for.
Yeah. And I think those folks that are open to that continuing education sort of mindset are oftentimes going to be attractive to an employer or a boss or someone, because you're in some ways willing to go the extra mile and improve yourself, always be learning. Right. That's great. We've talked about your college experience a good bit. Is there anything that you, as you're sort of reflecting back, is there anything that you would have done differently now that you're looking back, hindsight being 2020?
Yes. And I, it's not a bad thing, but because my schedule was so packed,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have had more fun, or, you know, found, you know, sometimes you're so disciplined and so structured to the point that you miss out on a lot of things. And I chose the path that I was on. I'm not going to say I didn't lift a little, but I chose to play two sports. Mm-hmm. My basketball coach had us on a curfew. And so we had to be in at 11 o'clock. We had to call her and say, we're in. Hey, this Kim, I'm in the room every day. While there was a basketball season, even during homecoming, when there was a concert, we're looking out the window. She wouldn't even let us go to the concert because we had a game that Saturday. I'm like, can we go for an hour? you know, this is my last year. Just, you know, I don't feel like I had the voice that I might have now. Mm. You're so young and, you know, everyone's doing things, but you don't, the voice that I am trying to teach a lot of my girls that have now, speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, maybe I should have said, hey, coach, as a captain, like as a team, like this is some of our last year. Can we go do this? Or even when I was online for Delta, there was a lot of activities that we had to do past that 11 o'clock curfew because it ran into basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That would keep us out at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when I got in the room, I'm back in the room. So there's a lot of things. There's so many things I missed out. A lot of times when I get together with my college friends, my husband and my girlfriends have started talking about certain things. And they're like, you didn't know that? I was like, no, I didn't know that. Like,
you know,
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, I'm like, where were you guys at? Like, how do you guys know that? What were you guys doing? They're like, girl. I'm like, yeah, I missed all of that. So there's a lot of things I missed out, probably some for the good. But, you know, I wouldn't do it, change it, but I probably would have added it or tried to experience some things. Because there's as you get older, and I'll say this, your preferences change.
Mm.
The things that you like change. Your interests change. And I wish I would have been a little bit more open to some of those things. The people that I've met at our school, I can't even, Michael Coulter went to our school. He played Michael Cage on Netflix. And then the creator of Black Panther, he does the comics.
Mm-hmm.
He went to our school. Like, I remember them, but they were on the art side, you know? So you know how sometimes it's like, okay, that's the art people over here. If you think about like movies, that's the art people, that's the sports people. And so you don't really get to know each other until later.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much that you guys could have been doing or kind of learning about each other at a younger age when we grow up and our interests change. And had I known some things, I would have did or tried. The things I try now are a lot different than anything I would have tried when I was younger.
So being open to other experiences and that time management piece. But you had a lot, you had plates on sticks in college. Is there any, with the number of years that you've been the coach, are there any, you had mentioned some of the player of the year things and whatnot. Is there anything that sticks out in your mind as a point or a sort of situation that you would want to highlight from your coaching experience with us?
I mean, the Final Four, of course. And the funny thing about the Final Four, so I'll mention two teams. So the first team I had, we had to piece together a team. It was like, we went to, I can't remember them because they beat us down that one year. We only had seven players, and we had to take the bus. And at the time, you guys had the Suburbans. And
Right. We were all back in the day. Yes.
That's how far I go back, because I was driving the Suburban. The key, couldn't get the key to turn.
Spare no expense.
Yeah. And I mean, it was great, though. And we had, it was the only people who really was the Bates sisters, I think Callie, and I had one other person. And then I had picked up some players to make a team. Mm-hmm. That was a bad loss. That was like, oof. Like, why are we playing this game again? Because they had promised a home and away from the year before. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned them because we still won the conference, which nobody expected.
Yeah.
Based on, because we had a lot of girls that quit once I started. And we needed them, mm-hmm. but they decided to focus on volleyball. And I mentioned them because to start there and to end up in the Final Four for our girls program at Lincoln Charter is huge. That Final Four team was not my best team, in my opinion, but they were the best team together. And, you know, in life, sometimes the people that come together, they might not be the perfect fit, but they might be the perfect fit to get things done. And they were the perfect fit. I always tell them they're the perfect puzzle pieces that went together at the right time. And they all knew what their role was. So to see the progression from where we were to get to that point and to have the players buy into how I was coaching, because I mean, I'm an intense like coach, and they allowed me to coach them. And so to get them to kind of understand what we were trying to do to get where we needed to be, they were perfect for the team at that time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you're on a team, it's not always about having the best players. It's about knowing what your role is and how to mesh it all together to get the win. And I think, you know, as those wins started happening, it was like it was crazy. I mean, like the adrenaline it's like you barely can sleep because the adrenaline from one game to the next, we're moving on.
Yep.
We're moving on.
Yep.
And they just kept playing better. They got played harder and they played better. And I was proud of them.
Yeah. That was a fun run.
Yeah.
It's there's so much, you mentioned the Suburbans and just sort of the, you know, what might seem like ancient history to some people, but I think it was Theodore Roosevelt that said, comparison is the thief of joy, which is one of my favorite quotes. But as human beings, we always compare, like regardless.
Absolutely.
And having that, like those early years where you're scraping seven mm-hmm. players together and seeing it develop and build into Final Four appearance where mm-hmm. we made, you know, such a fun run. Is just makes it that much better and sweeter because, in my opinion, a lot of that has to do with the culture that's built year after year and just the expectations. And so kudos for that. You. Is there anyone that you would want to give a shout out to, a hero, a mentor, someone that you've mentioned some incredible people in your life, but is there anybody that you would want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say my mom. I mean, I love my dad too, but
maybe our number one fan.
Yeah, my mom is by far. I mean, honestly, and you see her, like, she's like my tag along. Mm. My mom turned 70 last year, and this is coming to these games is like the highlight of her week. But the one thing about my mom is she always told us we were the best.
Mm.
She never, regardless, she always had our back. She wouldn't allow anyone to mistreat us. If we had a bad game, she would be there. She was going to support us regardless if it was good or bad. And not just in sports, you know, even to this day, my kids, I'm like, you can't tell her nothing because she's going to get mad. You know, I said, like, why don't you tell her that? Because, you know, I always tell my sisters that, you know, as a mom, she's still in that nurture mode.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, if you ask her, you're the best. She's not. She'll argue with you, too. Oh, she's Ray was the best ever. You know, she will not let you believe anything else. She was always that one that made sure we knew that we were the best. We might not have been, but We didn't know any better. We were good at everything.
And mom is always right.
That's right. We were, look, we were in, we played, so I didn't play sports as early as my brothers did. It was, I don't know. I was like, I used to be like, well, why I can't play?
Mm-hmm.
We're in England and they always had everything sports for, my parents never signed me up. I'm like, why are you not signing me up? Like, but when we in the neighborhood we lived in, the football was on Woodbridge, but the neighborhood we lived on, soccer and baseball was in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a time when it was going to open up. So whatever sport was, at a certain time, mm-hmm. our door was knocked on because now the best players are in my house.
Yeah.
My brothers were the best players.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't on this, at some point, they weren't always on the same team because they had an older team and a younger team. Okay. So they would rush to our door. It wasn't like a normal, I'm going to go sign you up and they were going to put you on the team. They're knocking on our door. Hey, we want John and Ray on our team.
Okay.
And so they were always the first pick. There was no question on for baseball. And they played all the sports, baseball, soccer, football, basketball. They were them. And it just, how it was. That's how what our family was.
You were all the best, according to mom.
Yeah, let her tell her. She has plenty of stories. Pull her aside next time you see her.
Maybe she'll be a future guest.
Yes, she would be glad to be.
That's awesome. Well, I think that's I do appreciate your mom a lot. She's got a great spirit, and she, you have to appreciate just staying supportive of your kids, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's, always love seeing her. And I do mean number one fan. She's great.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting on the front row and supporting. So it's great. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share, as we wrap up?
No, unless you have any more questions for me.
I could talk to you all day long, but I appreciate you spending time with us. And for all the years that we've known each other, I've learned some things. And so I appreciate you being open to the conversation. And most of all, I appreciate the role model and example that you've been for all of those athletes that have come through your program. And I always look forward to basketball season because I know it's keeps on getting better and better.
It does.
And appreciate you very much for your leadership.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in. I want to thank all of our listeners and subscribers for listening to The Edge of the Aerie. Like everything at LCS, it takes a great team to make this podcast happen. The Edge of the Aerie is produced by Jonathan Bryant and Taylor Helms. And additional support from our advancement and engagement team is very appreciated. Graphics and artwork are by Melissa Lasarski, and our music is brought to you by Next Mike, who you might also know as Michael Paulino Albin. Our team uses the free Spotify for Creators app to record and produce each episode, which is found at creators.spotify.com. You can listen to this podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Feel free to subscribe, rate, and or review the podcast. It may help others to discover this content. This is Jonathan Bryant, signing off. Until next time.